Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I am Mike Spofford, joined once again by the proud papa, Wes Hodkowitz. Congratulations, my friend. It's good to have you back, and it's great to hear the fantastic news from over the weekend.
Well, if you and I would have made a bet, a prop bet, when we started doing the show, who was going to be the first one to blank to not be here for an episode, you would claim victorious in this, but for an obviously great reason. My wife, Caitlin, and I welcoming our son, Killian, into the world on Sunday. A lot of people here at 1265 Lambeau, Mike, that forced me not to be on that trip to the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, we made you stay home.
You were one of them, and thankfully that's exactly what it was. A good thing I was home. 1:08 p.m. on Sunday Central Time, he was born, right about the same time that game was moving to the second quarter. So very happy to be here and happy to be in that situation like you were for many years, short on sleep and high on effort.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, amidst that fantastic news, unfortunately, there was some bad news here that greeted the Green Bay Packers late Monday night, which is that, not a big surprise, but the playoff hopes for 2017 officially ended when the Atlanta Falcons beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. Tampa Bay missing a 54-yard field goal right at the final gun, and Atlanta escapes with a three-point victory. So Green Bay's eight-season playoff run, one shy of the NFL record of nine consecutive postseason appearances, a record shared by two teams, is over. And I guess what else can you say? It was quite a run.
It was quite a run, and that was one of the things. I did get a chance to watch the end of that Tampa Bay-Atlanta game, and kind of going through the emotions of it and trying to understand that. I was actually in the stands. You were working for the team at the time, but I was in the stands in that game against the Lions back in 2008 when that was the last time a season ended in Week 17 and there was no Week 18 for the Packers.
Right.
You know, and to think about that for a second, Mike, again, we just got done talking about me having my first child. I was a sophomore in college at that point. I hear a lot of people in inbox this past week talking about how they were – you know, in high school, or, you know, they were, you know, at a different phase of their life. 8 years, that's such a great run. And I know Packers would have liked nothing more for it to continue. Everybody worked incredibly hard this season to try to keep it on track, despite all the injuries, despite the setbacks. But at the end of the day, this league's about consistency. And I think Mike McCarthy would be the first to say that this year's team just wasn't consistent enough through all that adversity.
Yeah, definitely plenty of ups and downs here in the Green Bay Packers season, and I take nothing away from making the playoffs eight straight years, but you have to realize that 4 years ago, the other time that Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone, how many things actually had to line up for the Packers. And I take nothing away from the Packers winning the division that year, but when you look at where that season stood, with the 40-10 loss on Thanksgiving, the Detroit Lions in complete control of the NFC North, the Packers looking like they basically had no shot at the postseason. And then the Lions, frankly, they just collapsed so badly that from between Thanksgiving and Week 17, suddenly the Lions couldn't even win the division. It came down to Green Bay and Chicago, both with around 500 records at the time, and the winner got in, and that allowed the Packers to keep the streak going, which then continued, obviously, through 2014, 15, and 16. But it comes to an end. I believe it's the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning and the New England Patriots with the nine consecutive postseason appearances. And this will this be 10 now for the Patriots?
Yeah. So they will basically be, since the Matt Castle year where they didn't make playoffs.
Yeah, where Tom Brady missed the season with the knee injury. So the New England Patriots setting a new NFL standard now this year with a 10th consecutive postseason appearance. But yeah, it's been a wild ride. But as I wrote even Sunday night, listening to Aaron Rodgers give his press conference after the Carolina game, this is not over in the sense of you know, any kind of a window closing on the Green Bay Packers. This is just one of those years. Things didn't fall into place, but this Packers team, I believe, is going to be back.
Yeah, and this is the number one thing I thought about. The 2013 team, I would probably make an argument that this year's team is probably better than that 13 team. This team is deeper. They really, with the injuries they had in 13, they were exposed at a number of different spots. And ultimately, as much as they fought when they did make it to the playoffs, it was going to be tough for them based on, you know, some of the injuries they'd endured. This particular team, and the point I'm trying to make with that is they came back in 14, and that was as complete of a team as they've had since they won the Super Bowl. I think that potential's there with this group right now. There's going to be a lot of decisions that need to be made this offseason. Free agency, a lot of different things they're going to have to decide with these. How many draft picks is it? 10? 11?
If the Packers get four compensatory picks, which is what we're thinking they're going to get based on the free agency situation from last year, the Packers will have 11 draft picks coming up.
And you also got to remember, they had that Laurente McCray seventh rounder, too, that's going to be coming up. So Ted Thompson and this front office, they will have a lot of different pieces to work with, no matter how all this shuffles out. The big thing that you have to keep in mind, though, through all this is trying to build that core around Aaron Rodgers. And this year, with those seven games missing your star, elite, two-time MVP quarterback, that's a lot for a lot of teams to endure. And I think when you see who ultimately prevails in 2017 in terms of the Super Bowl champion, it's probably going to be the team that survived this run the most. Because when you look at Philadelphia, you look at some of these teams that have just had their season completely sidetracked by injuries, the Packers fell into that category. Some are going to make it, some won't. This is a quarterback-driven league, and if you have that guy on the field, you have a chance, and if you don't, it's going to be uphill sledding.
Yeah, no question about it. With that, we'll toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. Wes, at the time we're taping this episode, we haven't yet heard from Mike McCarthy. We're going to hear from him later today. And I'm just curious what you think. I'm not a football coach. I'm not a doctor. I don't think you are either.
I don't think so.
No. But the Packers have a decision to make here with quarterback Aaron Rodgers. You have two games left in the regular season. You cannot make the postseason. You know there was some risk involved in putting Rodgers back out there against Carolina, 8 weeks removed from the broken collarbone surgery. How do you think this is going to play out?
I really don't know. And I know that isn't really a very good answer to your question. I'm sure all the listeners are like, okay, great, you don't know. But here's the reason why, is because we don't know what the collarbone scan showed.
Right.
We don't know what they think the timeline is and when it's going to be fully calcified or whatever that is. He was medically cleared, and Aaron Rodgers at every turn, and including on the TV broadcast during the pre-production meeting when I believe it was Troy Aikman or Joe Buck, one of them asked him about it and said, I'm medically cleared. So Aaron Rodgers was good to go for this game, but there is that risk-reward comparison. And now at this point of the year, the reward is very minimal when you know you're not making the playoffs. Mike McCarthy's right. You play for pride. You play for your teammates. You play for all those reasons. But you also need to play for next season. And Rodgers now at 34 years old, we know how important that offseason training regimen is to him. And it doesn't even have to be Aaron Rodgers, Mike. I remember talking to Corey Linsley about this a number of weeks ago. Every position player, if you have an injury that takes out some of your offseason training, you know, a surgery, whatever it might be, those are all uphill battles that you have to fight to get back and into playing shape and condition for training camp in the regular season. So I don't know what the decision's going to be. Time will have to tell on that one. But I think, as everybody would agree on, Aaron Rodgers included, you have to do what's in the best interest of him and this football team. So for him as a person, this football team as a player, make a decision that makes sense for all parties involved. Pat McKenzie, he trusts him. He trusts this training staff.
Yep.
They'll make the best decision in the best interest of everybody.
Yeah, it definitely is a tricky one, because I agree with you. You have to do what's in the best interest of Aaron Rodgers and what's in the best interest of the future of the Green Bay Packers. With the number of years that he still plans to play, you don't want to jeopardize anything in terms of the upcoming offseason, the start of 2018, and all of that. But at the same time, this is professional football. You have a team out there, the Philadelphia Eagles, who would certainly like Aaron Rodgers to play and possibly beat the Minnesota Vikings or give the Packers presumably a better chance when we're playing your best quarterback. I take nothing away from Brett Hundley, and if he ends up getting the call, the Packers will give it everything they have. But Aaron Rodgers gives the Packers the best chance, and the Philadelphia Eagles are fighting right now with the Minnesota Vikings for the number one seed in the NFC. So there's that whole part of it as well in terms of what the rest of the league is looking at. I don't think the Packers can look at it from that perspective. That's just my opinion. I think the fact that, you know, this wasn't a matter of somebody took a quick look at the bone scan and said, oh, yeah, it looks good, you're good to go. There was a lot of conversation about what was going on, which means, as I said, I think this is a very tricky decision.
And, Michael, a lot of opinions that were taken into account on this. It wasn't just Pat McKenzie and the training staff sitting back in the, you know, the training room, throwing back some coffee. What's in the best decision of a two-time MVP quarterback? they were talking to his surgeons back in California. They were talking to other medical experts in that field. You're absolutely right. The competitive spirit, you have to have it. The Packers have – there's been some playoff runs they've got on. Seeding, actual times making the postseason over the last 20 years that have been decided by teams who weren't in the playoff picture performing at the end of a season. So you want to go out there. You want to be fair to them, but you also have to be fair to yourself. And the Packers are not playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. They're playing for themselves. They're playing for right. their teammates. They're playing for this coaching staff. So, again, getting back to my first original point, you have to do what's in the best interest of now the 2018 Packers. What that decision is, what Aaron Rodgers feels that decision is, that's a conversation that they're going to have. You and I are not going to be privy to that until we are obviously brought into the circle of trust, as John Schneider would say.
Yeah, and they don't—they absolutely don't care what we think.
Yeah, exactly.
Contrary to what some inbox readers think, we have no influence over this whatsoever.
But at the same time, this is a conversation. It's going to be a narrative. People are going to discuss it. ESPN's going to throw it on their airwaves. But the Green Bay Packers are going to do what's best for them and in Aaron Rodgers. And I think that ultimately, as much as you want to go out there and you want to compete for your team, you want to compete for the other teams in this playoff seeding and all those different things, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, and you don't want to put him at risk. If they feel him coming out of this game, it's going to be something that does that.
Yeah, well, by the time the fans, a lot of fans see or listen to this episode, we'll probably have an answer to the question. So for now, we'll end the conversation and be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, Larry and I talked about this quite a bit on yesterday's show, and I know you're fired up and ready to talk about it as well. And that's the hit on Devontae Adams, from Thomas Davis on the Panthers interception return. Mike McCarthy minced no words on Monday, his Monday evening press conference. He said that was a dirty hit. And it's hard to disagree. I certainly don't disagree with him. It's the kind of thing that needs to be removed from football games. All the reports so far, Devontae Adams seems to be responding okay. It is his third concussion now within the last two seasons, which is really unfortunate because this was certainly one, actually both of the ones he's had this year, totally avoidable, unnecessary, didn't need to happen. Where do you think the league goes from here? I think that's the overarching question.
If I'm the NFL, there's going to be a lot of conversations. They're going to have all their meetings. They're going to get together, discuss these matters. I honestly think this has to be the first thing they talk about.
Yep.
I don't want to talk about 2020 and CBAs. I don't want to talk about rules changes. I don't want to talk about what a catch is and what isn't a catch. So I sat down Sunday night after everything had ended, and I'd seen the tweets. Didn't quite understand it, finally sat down and watched the play. I'm sick of watching this.
Yeah.
I'm sick of talking about it.
Yeah.
And it isn't just Thomas Davis. This is happening across the NFL right now. These guys are getting on planes and are going home to families. They have futures outside of football. Why does this keep happening? This is archaic.
Yeah.
This is a conversation best served and best reserved for 1990s football.
Yeah. You're right. It's an archaic culture. It's an archaic culture that the NFL has been trying to change. It has changed in some respects.
It has.
But what we're seeing is that it hasn't changed enough. There's more that needs to be done, and it's not going to happen organically. I don't think. I think from what we're hearing from players. I look at it this way, Wes. This may be a completely bogus analogy, but humor me for a minute, okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
People, you're not supposed to text while you drive,
yes.
right? Okay. Yep. Somebody's texting while driving. They crash into somebody else's car. They might apologize profusely and feel really bad about what they did. But the apology is always going to ring hollow.
Yes.
Because you were doing something you knew you shouldn't have been doing. You know, it's like you're a father now. You're going to say to your kid many times, trust me, you know you're not supposed to do that. Yeah. Why did you do that?
Why did you do it?
That's the question that we're asking of NFL players right now. There's absolutely no excuse, in my opinion. Now, if Thomas Davis lowers his target and hits Devontae Adams in the midsection, that's still a penalty. That was still going to be an illegal blindside block, which is just the type of play in general they're trying to get rid of. He threw the helmet-to-helmet contact on top of it. He went after the head and neck area, which makes the whole thing a double whammy. And the league needs to do something. I think I said in Insider Inbox, I think next year when we talk about the points of emphasis, you know, that they go, the referees go into every season with, the officials go in, I think there's going to be a point of emphasis to eject players on the spot for something that they feel is an egregious hit. And I think it's also going to come along with replay review of these types of hits like they have in the NCAA, like they have in college football. Review these hits on the spot, and if it looks egregious and looks like it was completely avoidable and unnecessary, the guy's gone.
Yeah, and that's going to be a tough one, as we've talked about and I've written about in Inbox too, because then now you're getting into the fact that you only have 46 guys available on a game day roster. And certainly that's a penalty that has to be taken into account. A lot of different factors that go into that. But I want to take this one step further, because it is one thing to be texting and driving, if that's going to become the analogy that we're going to run with.
I just threw it out there.
It's one thing to be texting and driving, and then it's another thing for the other driver to go on, you know, Twitter, Zach Brown, and say, well, don't be crying about it. I'm going to be out there headhunting. Seriously?
Yeah, are you kidding me?
I mean, this is where we're at in 2017 with everything that – this is the conversation that we're having. That's what really tears me up about this. Thomas Davis is remorseful for this, and I understand that. And he said all the right things afterwards.
But that's why I say, to me, the apology just rings hollow. There was he could have done many, many things to avoid that situation on Sunday and avoid putting Davante Adams in such a compromising position.
Yeah.
And yet he still did it.
And this is where we're at. And then you got those, and this becomes a narrative, and it just, it tears me up inside. It really does, because it just, I think you have to be smart. And as Jordy Nelson said after the game, you have to take care of each other.
Yeah.
I mean, Jordy Nelson's the PA rep for the Packers. I mean, he understands the big picture to this whole thing and how this is a game that's supposed to set you up for your future and give you opportunities. Hits like that don't allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And football happens. I get it. Ryan Shazier, an unfortunate situation with him trying to make a clean tackle in this league. Head just ends up in the wrong spot. Sometimes these things happen. That shouldn't have happened on Sunday.
Right, exactly. It's the unnecessary and avoidable stuff that we're talking about here. And you brought up Zach Brown. Did you see Jeff Janis's tweet?
Oh yeah, I did.
I liked what he said. Did. Like, hey, screenshot that when this guy's coming back, you know, 30 years from now, looking for money because he's got CTE, looking for, you know, money from the Players Association. You can't play with that attitude.
It reminded me of the Brandon Merriweather thing back in, I think it was 2013, when he had the gig. Eddie Lacy the concussion, then concussed himself on the same hit against James Starks.
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. Well, with that, we'll go to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here and Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, before we go, I wanted to get your thoughts on just how you see this NFC playoff picture shaping up now that we know officially the Packers will not be in it. And when I take a glance at it, I kind of go back to, you know, maybe where I was about the midway point in the season when we started to realize the New Orleans Saints were for real.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers were starting to get going. And we all know what the Atlanta Falcons bring to the table. It sure looks like the NFC South could be producing three of the six playoff teams in the NFC. Both of those wild cards could come from the same division now.
Yeah, and I don't want to, again, get in on that whole tangent of, oh, let's go back and look at the tape. I think in week five or six I was talking about this. And I'm not trying to say I was a soothsayer or anything, but I mean, these teams have been doing this since the beginning of the season. It's not like they started slow. I mean, they started fast and they've maintained.
Yeah, New Orleans started 0-2,
right.
but then they started cranking it up and then we saw obviously what they brought to the table at Lambeau Field.
But the thing that really impressed me is that you look at the Rams this year. I mean, they're sitting at 10-4, and the way that they've been able to catapult themselves at the top of that division, it is, you know, we're going to obviously be watching these playoffs from home, but I mean, I think it's going to be a really exciting race to watch. Philadelphia, seeing how they adapt to Nick Foles now at quarterback,
right?
Their defense has been legit all season? Can they do what the Minnesota Vikings have done and being able to really lift the rest of their team? Heck, I mean, you have to watch the Vikings too. They're in a really interesting position to potentially be able to be in a spot to play a Super Bowl, you know, which I think would be the first time in NFL history at their own stadium. So,
yes, it would be.
Just a lot of factors to go on. I think the AFC is a little bit more cut and dry for the most part, but the NFC, I think it's anybody's race.
Yeah, and Larry and I were talking about this on yesterday's show, too. I think what the Carolina Panthers showed, as disappointing a loss as that was for Green Bay, what the Carolina Panthers showed on Sunday against the Packers in a very big game, actually the last two games now that they've beaten Minnesota yes. and Green Bay in their home stadium in Charlotte. You look at this Panthers team, they are 10-4. They lost twice to their division rival, the New Orleans Saints. They are 10-2 against everybody they've yeah. played except New Orleans. They still have to play Atlanta here before the season is over, which I think will be a big game in terms of the playoff positioning potentially. But you wonder if Carolina can somehow avoid New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, they just might be able to make a run at this thing too, whether they're the division champs or the wild card.
Yeah, and I think it was Troy Aikman that made the point in the TV copy on Sunday, the Packers game. I think you have to really stop trying to paint Cam Newton into a box as a passer. And I've been really guilty of this too. He is going to miss some of the deep throws. There's going to be some of those instances where he's not going to be the most accurate passer. But he's such a gosh darn weapon.
Yeah.
And now that you have Christian McCaffrey, I mean, we talk a lot about Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. They're very talented. But it does make you think, gosh, if the Packers could have just had Ty Montgomery healthy this year, because I think that is the future, that running back position. You have to be able to run.
Point.
You have to be able to catch. And you have to be able to be versatile and multidimensional. Christian McCaffrey gives them that element.
Yeah, well, there's some big games here coming up still in the NFC, but I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye on the Panthers, because Greg Olsen getting back
yeah,
into the mix and what he brings to that offense, another huge weapon.
Definitely.
But we've got to call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.